on this day. Glad you are joining again for session 11. We're going to be reading Philippians 3, verses 7 through 16. Paul goes on to say, "Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained." A strong section of Paul, both one, talking about the things that have been given up because of his new identity in Christ, but also how to live that faith and to press on and to advance in moving forward in the future. And so for Paul, there's a deep understanding of what it means to be the church or a disciple. And that often means everything is turned upside down. Everything is turned inside out. Everything has been changed. It's turned around. But all of it is worth it. For Paul, belonging to Jesus, the Messiah story, shapes the life of the human being. It shapes the life of the church. Again, not just abstractly changing something, but changing the soul, the mind, the heart of each person. And so what does Paul say he has to give up in order to know Christ as Lord? Well, knowing him means knowing his resurrection and his suffering. And there is much suffering for Jesus. He knows that Jesus has given up everything else. Jesus, too, had to forget all else. And if we are to embody this Jesus, we must consider the same. For the presence of Jesus is everything. If you were to say there was only one thing for Paul, it's to know Christ and his suffering and his resurrection, that sense of presence. And so Paul goes on here, I think, to describe the relationship between faith and faithfulness, where he is clear that it's not about his status or the world's status. It's always going to be, and forever will be, about covenant status, that it's Jesus' faithfulness that is given, God's gift given through Jesus to us. And so Jesus, as Messiah, he has been obediently faithful, and has now fulfilled this saving of the world. It's because of his faithfulness that we should see the sign and the reality, the new thing that God is doing, in that he is the Messiah. Because who each of us are is to be defined by the relationship of the Messiah with us. You see, we talk a lot about this justification by faith or living in Christ. Well, all of that rests within the nest of the Messiah, being held by the Messiah. And so the allegiance to Jesus is really the badge of the person of faith, saying, this is where my life is. This is where my life is discovered. This is where my life has been found. This is where my life is being lived. Again, however imperfectly perfect or perfectly imperfect, whichever way you want to say it, it's still my life is caught up in that one thing. And so step by step, God's desire is to put the whole world right. And Paul knows this. That was the hope of Israel, that God would remake the world and the people and form a new world. And the hope of Israel would be realized when they knew the fellowship of Jesus' sufferings and his glory. But God's desire and design is to put the whole world right. And so what God does is puts people in the right place to advance so that they can be part of putting the world right. Paul is one of those. Timothy is one of those. You are one of those. And you see, Jesus deals with sin and evil through his death. So in resurrection, he can launch that new creation with a new people, an enlargement of the people of Abraham. This Messiah actually does, as we profess and proclaim, dies for our sins. So the forgiveness of sin is to free us so that we can live in that new community. And so we're not defined by our ethnicity, our culture, or the divisions of brands or labels. What ultimately is defining, again, is Jesus and the new community that he seeks to create through his death and resurrection. And so for Paul, his understanding of the work of the Christian then in this time between your baptism and your death, what we say in the church sometimes is that dash on your tombstone, that period of time in which you've been given life, that's the working it out, where one's character is to be formed by the work of the Spirit, where God is making us into full human beings that we get to discover. We have the freedom to discover who we are as God's person, as God's people. We get to think through being a Messiah people. God allows for us to discover that. And so Paul writes in eloquent language here that he's reckoning the past. He talks about this goal, this sports metaphor or image. He says, I haven't reached these goals, but I press on in the in-between time to make it my own because Christ has made me my own. I don't consider that I've made it my own, but this one thing I do, I forget what lies behind. Yes, we have to so often forget all the stuff the world has heaped upon our shoulders, the things that have distracted us from who we really are as God's kids and God's people. We got to leave that behind, and then we get to strain forward to what lies ahead, which is always God's promise and God's providence for us. It's right there. And so we press on for that goal. We lean into the future. We trust that it's breaking in to the here and now. And we keep walking. We keep going. And I think Paul is authentic here in saying, you know, he hasn't fully arrived. Right? None of us are ever going to fully arrive. We could even say it in this way, that the true Christian maturity is knowing that you haven't fully arrived, that you can start and you can find your way and you can be in the midst of it, but we'll never fully accomplish everything that God has in mind for us, or maybe never even fully realize what God has in store for us. But in the working it out, in the in-between time, we have this time of thinking into a new creation, where we get to be people and not puppets, where we get to work together with Jesus, where we can press on and strain forward to create a new world, a new humanity, a new heaven and a new earth. Because we know that there is great, great work to do. And for Paul, for him, that singular focus was always about one God, one Lord, one goal, one thing to do, which was to live in Christ. And so how do we do that? Well, Paul made sure in this section of the letter to remind us that living into this is a team sport, bringing about love and patience and kindness is definitely designed for a community. That's where that can most be brought to bear. We don't do that in isolation. But we do that with God and with people. And it does indeed shape and change the world around us. And so a few questions for you in this section. Could you give an example from your life of when transformed thinking led to transformed action? Can you give an example from your life when transformed thinking led to transformed action? And then number two, what are some things that we can do as a church to help one another attain the goal of Christ-likeness? What are some things that we can do together to attain that goal of Christ-likeness? And number three, what are some things you personally need to forget as you strain forward for what lies ahead? What do you need to forget so that you can strain forward to what lies ahead? Again, good questions. But as we heard from Paul, he says, hold fast to what you have attained. The gift, church, that you have attained already is Jesus, not because you did anything to earn it, but it was already given. It was placed into your heart, mind, and soul. And the work we get to do in our lifetime is to figure out the full measure of that and how we bring it to bear in all we say and all we do. And so great blessings to you on this day as you press on toward the goal of Jesus Christ, Messiah. Be safe and take care. We'll see you here again soon.